Well, the Lord spoke to me this week to do some teaching in the area. You've made mention of this at times in passing of things concerning the move of God. And I'm going to be teaching on the spirit of seeing and knowing. We'll talk about exactly what it is. We're going to do some teaching along this line. As we go into this, Kenneth Hagin, some years ago before he left, he started talking about we're in a time of the spirit of seeing and knowing. And I watched over time with it when he began to talk about it. And then when he passed and went on, and the Lord hooked me up with Randall Greer. Randall Greer would talk about it very often. He would make mention of this, about the spirit of seeing and knowing. And really moving into that time. And what we need to understand, it doesn't really matter what the flow of God or God is doing. There's a God side to thing and there's a man side to it. And we have to push into things. When God speaks through people and tells us that certain things are available, or God's doing a certain thing, it's not going to just fall on you and happen to you. It don't work that way. It doesn't happen. Somebody's got to press into something to start to get things to work, and you're going to have to start to move into it. It's like anything we're talking before, you know, concerning the anointing. I had to learn over the years to how to yield to the anointing that God anointed me with. And I had to learn how, so it required something of me to learn how. Doesn't matter how much God wants to anoint you, you're going to have to learn to operate in that anointing. And no more than you learn how to operate in that anointing, then you'll have anointing on you. So you have to understand that. Now, so we're going to look today, and we're going to be talking about these. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And I want to read to you, because we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, especially I want to iterate, because the spirit of seeing and knowing is really dealing with the revelation gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit mentioned. And what they did is teachers divided these into, I think Howard Carter was the first one who divided them into 3 groups. Brother Hagin followed suit in what he did in teaching. And really, he dealt with what they call the revelational gifts, the power gifts, and the vocal gifts. And the revelational gifts, which is a term was used, the spirit of seeing and knowing, is the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And these are highly important. Most of the church world wants to jump and they look at the power gifts. We want the power. We want working of miracles. We want the gifts of healing and the gift of faith and operation. We desire those. And or we turn around, you know, and we have the vocal gifts and things. But people look, and lots of times we don't understand. There's one thing, as I've learned over the years, lots of times that any of the other gifts operated, they operated because the spirit of seeing and knowing was in operation. A revelational gift began to operate, therefore something else took place. And I want to say this to you, is you need to understand this. I said before, and this many times, I'm going to tell you this again, I never learned how to operate gifts of the Spirit in the church. I never did. I learned how to operate gifts of the Spirit in my own personal life, in my own prayer life and things. And I'll just be honest with you. Most of the time, the gifts operated while I was usually in prayer, stuff would start to happen. All of a sudden, I'd see things and know things. And gifts would start to operate. If you don't spend much time over in that, you probably won't see much of these things and you won't operate in much of them. Won't happen. It's not going to happen just because God, you know, I heard people come along and they don't spend no money. Somebody said, I have the gift of healing. Well, nobody has the gift of healing. It's as the Spirit wills it operates. Nobody owns the thing and you can just turn it on and off. It don't happen that way. People get over, they have a lot of misconceptions. We want to look at some of these things. But the need of these gifts, especially the revelational gifts, I just feel sorry for non-spirit-filled pastors. I just feel so sorry for, I'd hate to have to minister, preach, do things and not have the revelational gifts in operation. I just, you know, and especially, they operate more before I get into the pulpit than they do in the pulpit. That's how I got the message. The message came to me on Tuesday morning. The Lord gave me the title. He said what I was supposed to minister on. And then told me the scriptures to go over to. And he also told me some other things, he said, to do. And I just obeyed to do that. And then it wasn't in a turnaround in Thursday morning, 4:30 in the morning. He awakes me 4:30 in the morning. I'll be honest. Here, over the last probably 6 months, I never sleep through the night anymore. I never make it through the night. I'll sleep and I'll wake up and God talks to me about something. And, 4:30, he woke me up and he told me concerning the message how he wanted me to minister it. See, these operate, these comes through the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge begin to work. See, these things, he's speaking to me about what's coming in the future really is the word of wisdom. And we want to talk about that this morning is one of the things dealing with that first. We want to talk about the word of wisdom because of what we can apply and do now as believers is understanding about the importance of these gifts. If they don't work, and understand this, you know, 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, we're going to start to read into it. But you know, this chapter finishes off talking about the body and the need for the body. And people always pull that out of its context and preach about it and talk about how we're to walk in unity. That there's part of that is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. If Christians aren't walking and operating in gifts of the Spirit, there ain't no unity in the body. You're not, let's be honest. If I can't get anything supernatural operating through me, I'm not much use to the body. Let's be honest about this things, folk. See, we're talking about we're to be one. How can you be one when one part has to drag 20 other along with it? You can't be one. See, it's about manifestations of the Holy Ghost. That's what this chapter is about. It's about manifestations of the Spirit, and it's divided. So in other words, if somebody don't operate in gifts, the body lacks. And boy, the body lacks today like crazy. It lacks terribly. This is one of the reasons the body's in its condition it is today. Because only a few were trying to carry the majority. You know, everybody wants the ministers. You know, you get really anointed. You get the stuff. You know, you do it. But you need to learn and operate. You're part of the body. If you don't, there's no need for you in the body. There's no need. There's a need. And we need to understand this. As one of the things, you need to get them operating in your life. You're not going to be effective. There's no minister that will continue walking any effectiveness if they don't learn to get these things working in their personal life. It ain't just doing it in the church. This is not about performance. It's getting it operating in your life. You need it. If you're going to be effective, if you're going to be an effective Christian, you need manifestations in your everyday life. I've always known that there's been operations of gifts of Spirit ever since I got filled with the Holy Ghost way back in 1980. And I thank God for it. Gifts of the Spirit did a lot of things through gifts of the Spirit. I saw relatives get healed and that stuff. They didn't know squat or no going on. But because in learning to push over in the areas of the Spirit, God did things. Some people, they pray night and day all the time about their relative, but they don't know nothing about the gifts of the Spirit, never learned to operate in them or work in them. And what they need is, you know, you can pray till you drop and not ever get a thing. Is you need to know, you need to be able to flow with the Holy Spirit. So being led by the Holy Ghost, that's what we want to do. Now I want to read this morning and starting off. When Paul is talking to the church here, he said to them, now he's starting off when he had changed his subject. He said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now that the word actually in the Greek, and you've heard me teach about this before, that if your Bible is correct, it'll have the word gift italicized. And the reason for that is because it's not in the original Greek, it was added. Because he's not talking here about gifts when he makes this mention. What he's talking about here is just this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, in other words, concerning these things, he said, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about things of the Spirit. Things concerning the Spirit. See, ignorance is why the Lord spoke to me in February of 2080 and said to me, if you don't learn how to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. We need to understand that the need, the desperate need that we have to be led by the Spirit, that the Spirit can work in us, that we can come in contact. You know, I don't believe in God not talking to you. I don't believe in that. I believe in Christians that say God don't talk to them. I have to stop and say, well, you're even a Christian. How could God live inside of you and he ain't saying nothing? You know, is God a dummy? We got a book full of his words, so we know he talks. But it seems he's deaf and dumb when he gets inside of us. No, it's because we're deaf and dumb. That's the problem. We've been deaf and dumb. And on the dumb side, boy, we've mastered in that thing, I'll tell you. But we listen to people say things. We don't think it becomes normal. I'm going to tell you what. Here, this year, God has been so chatty. I'm just amazed. It's just like, my God, he can't get enough of talking. Why? We've kept him silent so long. He just can't wait to say something to somebody who wants to hear it. But how well do we want to hear it? How well do we want to hear it? We have to make a decision of how well we want to hear. How much do I want to hear from God? What do I want to do? What would I do to hear from God? What does it mean to me? And so these are things that we're going to have to consider. But we're looking at, so God, Paul said, look, God don't want his people ignorant about things of the Spirit. He wanted to say, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. He said, therefore I make known to you that no one speaks by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Why are the gifts given? For the profit of all. So in other words, I must be profitable to the body of Christ. And I'm only profitable if I allow the Spirit to operate through me and do things. Or I am not profitable to the body. I must allow the Spirit to work. You know, a strong church is not made by just, you know, an individual here and there. Number one, if you got families, you got to have a strong spiritual family is a huge aid to the body of Christ or to the church. It's not just one person. It's families. It's strong spiritual family, strong unity in the family spiritually, believing the same things, walking in the same things, God being able to move. Each of us need to be able to learn how to operate in supernatural things. I'm not much interested naturally what you got to say. We're living in day and time. All we've heard is what people have to say, and what's it got you? Man, I want to know what God's saying on top of the list. I want to know what God's talking about. I'll tell you, we've tried all of our wisdom. Boy, it's turned out great, hasn't it? It turns out well. But here in this talking, one of the things, and just an easy way to put some of these things when he talked about these difference of gifts and diversity of gifts and things, what he's talking about, there are different gifts in the body. These nine gifts that he talks about here are not the only gifts in the body. Jesus put gifts in the church, the apostle, prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. There's also other gifts mentioned in the scriptures concerning individuals and that stuff about giving and different things and stuff, how God uses individuals. Now, they're gifts, and so all these gifts work together. See, people have to get in their gift. I don't know if you remember years ago, Mike would always talk about, you know, getting in your place. And your gift. Most people don't ever spend the time to find out how God's going to use them. You're never going to develop on how God wants to use you to get over into it, because you can't develop in something you don't ever do or you don't ever operate in. You don't ever go there. Well, you can't develop in it. You know, I learned to operate in the ministry and I had to learn how to do things. I had to get over into it. I couldn't tell people I didn't want to get in front. I didn't want to do something. I didn't want, well, that just ain't me. Well, the last I heard, ministry goes to people. And if you don't like to be around people or say nothing to people, you ain't going to be used much. So, you know, forget the thing about the miracles and all that kind of stuff. It ain't happening. You know, we got to get over ourselves. You know, let me read something. I was going to read it, but I'll read it now. The Holy Ghost just said to. I'm going to read it. I have a book here from Norval Hayes. I like Norval Hayes. Norval Hayes was a Christian minister that carried a gun. And he'd shoot you right off your chair. He didn't mess with you. I really liked him because he'd just speak blunt to you. He didn't go around patting you and saying all kinds of, you're so cute. You know, he would call you flaky thing. And if he told you you were a flake, you were. So get over it. Because you ain't going to ever change till you admit it. God knows you're a flake and everybody else does. You might as well get over it. You know, I just decided I don't want to just stay a flaky thing. If I'm flaky, I want to know it, don't you? I want to know it. Well, this is a book called Endued with Power. It was by Norval Hayes. Norval would say some wild things sometimes. But here's one thing concerning, we're talking about, because this is about gifts of the Spirit. It has in here, he says, how to activate the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. But Norval said this, he said, how can I get my, it's about getting yourself in shape to receive the gifts of the Spirit. He said, how can I get myself in shape to receive the gifts of the Spirit? He said, you ask. He said, there's only one way that I know of. You first of all have to be delivered from yourself. Now listen to what he says. How do you do that? He said, listen to this. By the fire of God. See, I've been talking about this fire. See, and I remember I said last week, this fire, we're in the time, it's about turning the body of Christ back. Now, this one thing, most Christians don't like it when the heat gets turned up on them. Because people like to protect themselves. People like to keep their stuff in their life and their stuff in their ways. And, you know, I just want to be me. No, Jesus never called you to be you. He called you to be him. John the Baptist learned. He's John the Baptist. I always said John the Baptist, Lord, more of you and a lot less of me. Some of you got so much of you can hardly see Jesus. And you don't realize it. You can be religious and do nice things, but have little Jesus. You want to get it where Jesus can use you. Now he says, remember on the day of Pentecost when God sent fire with his Spirit? He said the fire of God follows God's Spirit. He says, what does fire do? It burns. The fire of God burns, demolishes, does away, makes things disappear that don't need to be there. He said, there are so many full gospel people that should know better, but don't know very much about the fire of God. The fire of God is so important to get a person delivered to burn up the chaff out of them. He says, in other words, you have to be delivered from yourself. So you can receive the Holy, what the Holy Ghost wants to give you. Whether you know it or not, you are your own worst enemy. You know, we deal with the devil, but lots of times I found in life the devil wasn't my problem. We thought the devil's doing this and the devil. No, it isn't. It's me unwilling to change. Once I learned about this, if I would change, I could deal with the devil, deal with him pretty darn easy. But I couldn't deal with him till I dealt with me. And that's not always fun. You know, it's always easier to clean somebody else up, ain't it? Let's give them a good scrubbing. Boy, if they would only change. Listen what he goes on to say. Your mate may worship God 3 hours a day and pray for 2 hours a day. But that's not going to get you any victory from heaven. You've got to do it yourself. Jesus is a personal Jesus. You can't live on your mate's experience from God. You can't live on your relative's experience from God. You can't live with God's because your mother was a good Christian. You've got to bow down your knee before Almighty God yourself and make Him the living God of your life. It says the spirit world is real. And all these beautiful gifts that God wants to give to you are weapons from God to the church. They are weapons to do away with the works of the devil. God doesn't want his believers, his children, putting up with the devil. See, as long as I'll put up with me, I'll have to put up with the devil. See, I got to quit putting up with me. Glory to God. We need change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we're going to have to seek God. We're going to have to go after God. There's all these gifts that are put in the church. And all these gifts that we have, the gifts are different. They operate differently, this and that. Now, as individuals, as gifts, but we need to understand the gifts of the Spirit are for everyone in the church. You know, for ministry, sometimes, like, there's certain gifts that operate through me more prominently. The office that I'm in, when I minister, they're much more prominent. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge have operated through me in discerning of spirits, seeing things in the spirit realm. From the time that I got born again, they operated pretty fluently through me. That they did. I mean, but in my personal life is where they first began to operate in me, is in that area. And lots of times I would, you know, God would show me things and I would know things. And that's hugely important. We need to understand that. And we're going to talk about it here quickly, but then we're going to go over because there's some things that the Lord wants me to emphasize. Besides here this morning, he spoke to me. I better do it because he said in 4:30 in the morning when he woke me up on Thursday. And so if it was that important, he had to wake me up to tell me. I guess I better do it. So, but anyhow, We're dealing with these gifts of the Spirit in which I said there was three groups. It was called the word of wisdom and word of knowledge. We were dealing here with what is called the revelational gifts. Revelation comes through them. Revelation comes in these gifts. And so these are highly important because God is going to reveal something to you. This is about the Spirit of seeing, knowing. See, we can't just live. There's too much that we don't know around us about people and about things. You know, if God doesn't show us things many times going on in the spirit realm, we don't all necessarily know what demons are doing or what's operating over there. We don't know about people. You know, sometimes people, you can get two people doing exactly the same thing. One of them is yielding to the devil and one of them is just, they're just acting like the devil. There's no demon involved. They're just doing it. And you have to know the difference because you can never minister to somebody and you're going to treat them both the same. That's what everybody does. Just treat everything the same. Most ministry that goes on is natural. It's natural man trying to minister to the outward symptoms we see. Remember I told you when the Lord told me, he said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. That's all you do. It's treating symptoms, seeing what you see on the outside. Well, I needed embarrassed and he embarrassed me. In front of me. He embarrassed me right in front of me. He didn't turn around and say, you know, Ed, you're cute anyway. He didn't say that. He said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. In other words, nothing was getting done. You go through the religious motions and you go through religious prayers, but nothing ever changes. Well, I found a long time ago when things weren't changing, I would go to God. I listened to what Kenneth Hagin said. You go to God and say, God, where am I missing it? You never miss it. Where am I missing it? This ain't working, so I'm missing it. I always love it when ministering to people and, you know, and they'll talk like, you know, they're be ministering and things, you know, been messed up in their life and then they're talking to you like, you know, they're just doing what's right and that stuff. Well, you wouldn't be standing up in front of me trying to get delivered if you had everything right, you knucklehead. Come on. We don't deal with things. We like to, you know, everybody, this is the tendency of all humanity. You want to try to make yourself look good in front of people, don't you? you don't want them to know you're a dummy. I want them to think I'm bright, you know. I think I'm bright. Don't worry, they get around you for a while, they're going to find out. It all shows up. Hallelujah. Get over yourself. Hallelujah. It works good. But we want to learn to operate. If we don't learn around to get ourselves over where we're not dealing with the outside and learn that we need manifestations that show us things of what's really happening and going on. And that's the purpose of these gifts. Through these gifts, we find out things. Now, the word, and we're going to talk about this, the word of knowledge, and I'm not going to go into a lot of teaching on that right now, other than say a few things about it. The word of knowledge deals with this area quickly. We'll talk about it later on. It deals with knowing something. God reveals you something, either something of past that happened in the past, or something that's going on right now. That's basically what it is. It shows you stuff. As many times I have the word of wisdom and word of knowledge operate together. God has showed me something because the word of wisdom deals with the future and points to the future. And this is really an important gift. We need to understand this. The church world, you know, we look at the book of Revelation and that kind of stuff. You know, we get these people and people talk about studying prophecy. But I want you to understand about the study of prophecy. There's one thing to study the prophecy from the Bible. But I go along, Norville Hayes had said this. Norville Hayes said, he about studying prophecy. He said, you need to study prophecy. Things that have been prophesied to you and things that have been prophesied in our time. See, the words of wisdom come many times and speaks of the future. And you need to understand this. We could learn from the prophets of old. Then the prophets of old, they would speak and they'd speak under a word of wisdom and they would tell the future. But many times they would tell what God wanted to bring to pass, but it wouldn't come to pass. It wouldn't happen. You know, Daniel, he coming up in 70 years past, he goes to God and says, hey, hold it. Jeremiah prophesied in 70 years, we're supposed to be going back to the land. Israel's supposed to go back. What's going on? See, it wasn't he prayed. He began to pray till God gave him revelation. See, and you need, people don't push, I don't care what's been said to you, you gotta go after it. You can't just sit around and wait around like it's going, I'm waiting on God. No, you ain't. When God said it, that was His part to do. Now it's your part to take a hold of it. That's your part. You take a hold of it. So anyhow, like Norval Hayes said, He said, in other words, you look at people and what people have prophesied and said concerning the future. We have much that's been said over the years when we can look in Scripture. And this is one thing as we look at prophets today who have said things, we can measure against what has been said in the past by the prophets concerning the future. And which is good, and you should be able to do that. And what happens though, but we have prophecies spoken today that are said today about the future. Sometimes people get prophesied too. There's one thing, I have prophecies that Randall Greer said to me, and I had them on recording, and I put them down, and I have them on paper, and I have those prophecies, and I go back and read. Many of them have already come to pass and happened in me going after those things. I start saying that, I'm walking in that. I'm operating in that. I'm doing that. This is me. Sometimes things were spoken and they pointed to a future, not right now. So I'm speaking out on the future of that thing. I'm arriving at that place. That's going to work through me. That's going to operate in me. But also there's prophecies that are said. Many prophecies, in fact, the Lord wanted me to talk about this. This is one of the things that I've been doing, that when Randall Greer prophesied over me and said that the things that were prophesied, that the things that I prayed, he said I was going to walk in. The things that I prayed, I was going to walk in. Do you know there's a lot of wonderful things that were already been said in prophecy? Now, I don't know how many of you, I remember all the times I put prophecies back there on the table? How many of you have them and use them for your prayer life? Do you do that? You take those prophecies out? You should be. Because if you're not, there was no purpose for them. You know, they're just toilet paper. You know, go burn them somewhere or something. The purpose of those things and why I put them out there. See, those are things that I study. Those are things that God said. When the Lord spoke to me through Randall Greer and said, the things that I prayed, I'm going to walk in. What I had been praying was the stuff concerning those prophecies. And every day after day, I got in the face of God concerning, Lord, you said these things. These things you said was going to happen. I expect them to happen. Lord God, this is what we want. I don't want something. You said this. This is your word. The Lord said to Kenneth Hagin one time when he was caught up to heaven and said to him, I'm going to hold you accountable as much as by what I've said as what's written in the book. We need to understand, is God talking through these prophecies or we don't know? See, if you don't know, if you're questioning, then you need to get in the face of God till you find out if that's true or not. See, we're not doing that. We just sit, we let words come and we just go, and I stand here and preach and words come and go and people don't pay no attention to them. I know. This is what the Lord told me to use as an example. Now, I want you to think about this. You know, I've talked about people, you know, concerning healing. I've talked about, it's one of the things I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, now here's a guy who knew about healing. He said, I read healing scriptures every day. He said, I do that. Now, I'm sure there's people here that you're taking some kind of medication from the doctor. You take some kind of medication. Now, that medication that you take, usually it has on there when you're supposed to take it, how you're supposed to do it. And it tells you whether you're supposed to have food or you have to drink so much water with it. And they have all these things that they do on these medications, and people take them. And they are just faithful to do that. But I won't ask you to embarrass you. How many of you read healing scriptures every day? Even though you were told to do it, you still don't do it. Why? Because you trust your doctor a lot more than you trust the Word of God. Woo! Maybe I better get behind the pulpit up here. You Presbyterians will get upset. If you thought the Word of God was going to help your health. Now see, we need to talk about these things. You can go on and teach any old thing you want and try to pat each other on the back and say, yeah, we're going to. If we can't do the simplest things, we can't do that and do it regularly. We could take medicine 2, 3, 4 times a day. Do it, my words, we'll set it in our nice little phone that we look at 450,000 times a day, and we can do it. Well, why don't you set it in there? You stop and read the Word once in a while and set it in there for that. Smith Wigglesworth was being chauffeured from a meeting from a hotel to the place he was going to the meeting, and he was being chauffeured, and they're driving down the highway, and he all of a sudden starts yelling, stop, stop, stop! And the driver like, ah! And he's yelling. Driver didn't know what was going. He pulls off the road. And Smith Wigglesworth said, I haven't read the Word in the past hour. He said, you sit here. And he opened his Bible. And he read from the Word. And he read, and he closed his Bible, and he said, okay, you can go now. Now that sounds flaky and funny to you, but I'm going to tell you what. That's why he raised dead and we don't. See, we think we're going to do something different, you know. All I do is make a good confession. Most people's confession ain't got a power enough to produce a thing. It's what's behind that confession. It's what's on the inside. What's it going to produce? See, we need to get over these things. Now, I know this is talking hard. See, I think I got some of Norval on me. You know what? I want to say something to you that the Lord spoke to me and said this to me. He said these prophets are going to be raised up in these last days. And he said, because this is what happened. I was praying for Donald Trump. And the Lord had spoken to me back when Donald Trump was going to, when he called himself into the presidency, I wasn't paying no attention about it. And the Lord spoke to me that Donald Trump was going to run for the presidency. And that he wanted Donald Trump. That's what his man was, Donald Trump. And I was just totally astounded. I was like, oh my God, I didn't even think about it. You know, because, you know, Trump running, I didn't think about it. And the Lord said to me, I want a bull in a china closet. And he said, the Lord spoke this to me. In fact, he spoke it to me right here this morning back down there. He said, I'm going to raise up prophets in the church and they're going to be the bulls in a china closet. They're going to tear stuff up in the church. A lot of people are going to get unhappy about it. They're going to tear things up because there's things in the church world need torn up or we ain't going nowhere. We won't go nowhere if we don't get torn up. If we're just happy the way we are, God move and let me be the way that I am. You know, I'm just me. That's the problem. You're just you. I want to be changed. Each person finds their gift and operates over it. There is no such thing as a gift in the church. It's not supernatural. There is no such gift. There is no such gift. You know, people talk about walking in love in the church. The love of the church is a supernatural gift. You got to learn to walk in supernatural love. Or you just get fed up with people. You just quit on them. If I walked in natural love, man, I'd have quit on the church a long time ago and done something else. I'd rather mow lawns, you know. If you want to walk in the natural, you might as well. People need to understand. But you walk over it because it's supernatural. You learn not to be touchy or fretful, you know. If I'm told about something, well, that's the way it is. Square it up, Ed. See, I've always been with the Lord. Lord, if I need told, tell me. You know, just tell me. You know, I don't have to go back 47 times in prayer and him slowly have to squeak something in to get Ed to change. You know, just tell me that if I'm being a knucklehead, tell him. Say, hey, you knucklehead, wake up down there. That's good enough for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. But God wants us to change. But this supernatural gift, these words of prophecy I was talking about, this is hugely important. Because I've been taking these prophecies. And what I've been doing with this through these prophecies, I've been letting this guide my prayer life. I've been taking, now I pray about other things. But mainly, the main emphasis, I want a move of God in this nation. We can sit and we should, we pray for our leaders and we pray for things. But I'll tell you what, if we don't spend a lot of time praying about this move of God, because that's needed more than any election. If Donald Trump gets in, and he will, he's going to get in 2020, and he will get in. But I'll tell you what, it may not do any good if the church don't change. If the church don't change. The church has to change in what it's pushing on. We need a move of God. Donald Trump needs the church to rise up and cause a move of God. We're going to have to get offline some. A lot. A lot. Get offline and get online with God. It's good preaching, folks. If we went and sat down and just took an estimate of how much time people spend online and on their phones and on the computers and everything like that, and then people talk about it, well, I'm just so busy, I don't have time. That's the biggest lie on the face of earth. My words, they even say you go to most offices and that kind of stuff, and the people are supposed to be doing their jobs that work on computers are playing, I don't know how many hours a day that they're on there doing stuff. See, we need to come to the place. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. See, you know, I just think I was busy. And I wanted a move of God. And God started dealing with me. Well, do you want a move of God or you just want to do all the stuff you think need to be done? Well, I had to decide what was the most important. You're going to follow what you deem most important. I don't care what God says to you. God can tell you the right thing, but you have to deem what is important. You'd say, well, what the Lord told me is the most important. What God said was the most important. You have to deem that. You have to deem that. Can't let jobs just run your life and dominate everything. You can't do that. You don't give God any time, you know. You know, people can get over there and things. There's one thing I did years ago when I was at Rach B. Reese Candy Company. I was in a group leader. So in our department and that stuff, and I was on second shift and things, and I had to do, I spent a lot of time and working. Well, when I got born again, I came along the thing and I realized this. I wanted to learn to follow God, and I was going to have a hard time staying on my job and doing that because my job was eating up all my time. My job was eating up. And you know what I did? I took less pay, went over to first shift on a job so I could do 40 hours a week and I could spend time with God so I could get involved in the church. So I wasn't so caught up all the time. See, what I was trying to do, I was trying to get all the things from financially doing all this. I was doing that all by myself, talking about believing and trusting God. And I couldn't believe God that if I went over and spent time with Him, He'd take care of the rest of it. I couldn't. No, I had to do it all. This is good preaching, folks. You can get up and jump a pew, it'd do you good. I'll tell you what, it's the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. See, we can get so dominated into things, and sometimes, you know, you have to work. Even when I was on first shift, sometimes you had to work overtime or something come up. But I always worked to where I could stay, keep myself over where I could spend time with God. I had to do that. And I realized, you know, there's things that you just can't let get by. You just can't do it. You have to turn around. And I found this out. It's just like, you know, I've been over now the last few months. I started back in April. I really got into a real period of time of just not doing much of anything except seeking God, just spending time seeking God. And then, I was, you know, doing some, not quite as much, but then when I hit this thing, when Randall Greer talked to me, the Lord spoke to me about some things. And it's just rose. There's just a push inside of me, because we need to understand we're coming close to an end of an age, and if certain things are not reached into, they will not be reached into. They aren't going to happen. Kenneth Hagin, back in 1997, said in Las Vegas, he said, if the church doesn't get over and get into the Spirit on some things, there's some things that are not going to take place in the end times God wants to do. They're not going to happen. It requires us pushing into some things. If you look back at Kenneth Hagin before he left, he had prophesied, what was up to the year 2006? In 2006, we were already supposed to be standing in the glory, but the church got off base and started following the flesh. And now today, we're like 12, 13 years behind. Because Christians just got comfortable being saved. There's people going off to hell. There's people leaving this earth. And see, I'm talking about these gifts and these manifestations in operation. We need to know how important these gifts are, because these gifts help us to hook over into things. You will never hook up to things in the Spirit without them. You cannot go there. Your wisdom ain't going to take you there. You're not smart enough for this thing. When you realize this, intellectualism, 2005, he spoke to 2005. Okay, it's 2005. But anyhow, see, we've gotten behind. God wanted to move there. The church got off base. And they did, especially, people could have brought this thing in, but when Brother Hagin died, all kind of, even Raymond people, spirit, they just quit. You know, well, we're on to something else now. Now we're on to how you can have a big church without God. And then we got all these flakes and that stuff standing, you know, around, and now today preaching. No, you don't have to repent. You can just live in sin. I heard the knucklehead say himself. He said about, well, you know, if you sin and then, you know, God don't want you to feel guilty in His presence. And if you confess your sin, you'll feel guilty. You're supposed to feel guilty. He said, God doesn't condemn you. No, but the Bible says your own heart will. Your own heart is designed to say you're an idiot when you sin. And if it don't, you ain't saved. Sinners don't feel guilty about their evil. We do, because we're saved and we do evil. We say, yeah, guilty as charged. They say, no, if you sin, you're not guilty as charged. Biggest lie and liars. devil's helpers. See, we got to bring this stuff to a stop. We got to stand up and say, hey, this stuff is out of line and wrong and gone, you know. No, the biggest church in the United States turned around there down in Houston, invited him into their church. It ain't like they ain't sinning enough themselves down there. They had to bring a bigger sinner in yet. See, this stuff is, I mean, this stuff is terrible that's going on out here. And the church, we've gotten behind on things, and now it's time to push into it to bring it to head. Well, I kept pushing on it, and this is what the Lord said. He said, I'm going to walk in it. Well, the stuff I prayed, he said, I'm going to walk in everything that I pray. Hallelujah. He said, I will. He didn't say you will. But I'm going to tell you what, if you pay attention, you will. And you ain't going to walk into it doing something else. It's going to require of you. It requires of you. It requires of you. We got to decide what we want. See, as a kid, I lived through revivals. I've seen revivals. And revivals, we call them revivals, and they talk about the lost coming in. But revivals came along. They were to turn the church back. This is what the fire's about. I talked about this when the Lord said to me, you know, when Elijah called the fire down, it was to turn God's people back to him again. That's the first stage, to get God's people back. God's trying to get his people back because they see themselves as godly people, but God doesn't see them that way. They don't want the things of God. They're happy where they are. They'll say, yeah, we want a move of God, but they won't go after to get that move of God. They think, well, I just sit over here and I'm just a good person. And you know, I'm not as bad as this guy over here. He's really, boy, he's bad. He's bad. This guy's really bad. Well, if I'm not doing the will of God, I'm bad too. I'm the only one that's ever been there. I know you guys are just listening to me and saying, boy, he's a rank guy. I tell you what, he needs saved, that buzzard. But I want to encourage you because you need to get these prophecies out. And you need to see what God said, and you need to want that to happen more than you want your next meal. More than whatever else you think you want or you need. You know, I'm convinced of this. If we ain't going to have this, there's no point to Ed Gibson being on the earth. Because I ain't going to be happy here. No point in me being here. I ain't going to live through this mess down here with all the idiots. If I don't have the anointing on me and on with God, I don't want to be around it. I don't want to be around. Hallelujah. But God spoke to me and he said, I'm going to walk in everything. He said, you're going to walk in everything you prayed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I get to walk in it. I get to see things take place. I get to see, I prayed them. See, I didn't pray all the pretty stuff. I prayed the stuff that Kenneth Hagin prophesied about leaders dropping dead. And I said, Lord, we got leaders. The Lord God, there's ones that, you know what, there's people out here and there's two different classes of them. There's ones of them are just stupid. They're just dumb as a stick. They're like a lot of Christians, just dumb as a stick. I don't know. And there's ones out of them here, they know exactly the evil they're doing. They understand it. And I say, Lord, those ones that understand and know what they're doing, Lord God, be best if they drop dead. Lord, I expect you to do what the prophet said you were going to do. Lord, I want that to take place. See, people say, oh, now that ain't love. Jesus spoke those words through his prophet. I guess Jesus don't walk in love. You're more loving. That's what the Lord told me way back in probably around 1982, around in that area. He said, the church think they love more than I do. He said, I told them to kick a guy out of the church and they kept him. He is a fornicator and they kept him. And the Bible says, put him out. Put fornicators are supposed to be put out. No, we keep them in and make ministries to them and let them just keep fornicating. We don't believe the Bible. See, we can't. God can't. We stop it. Jesus said a little leaven leavens a whole lump. In other words, the devil's going to get in that church. They opened the door to it by not dealing with that. Jesus said, I didn't tell you to stay away from the fornicators and all those guys in the world. They aren't the problem to the church. The church has always looked at the outside. People look out here at all the heathens out here and complain about what they're doing. While the church has loads of heathens in itself and turn around and let them run around and do stuff because they say they're a Christian. I don't give a rip what a man says he is. Jesus said, by their fruit you'll know them. I'm going with Jesus. I wonder if he lied about that, you think? He might have. Jesus could have been pretty stupid. Maybe he wasn't real mature at that time. He didn't know what he's saying. See, we need to read the book of Revelation. It says fornicators ain't going to be in heaven. Adulterers and fornicators ain't going to be in heaven. He didn't say, no, if they say they're a Christian, they'll be there. Don't worry. The fornicators and liars and crooks and they'll all be there. See, we made up a nice Christianity. It's a good one we got. Because one thing, you take the power of God out of the church and you don't have the power to live right. What causes you to live right is the power of God. You need the power. You cannot naturally, by your willpower, live a godly life. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? If you didn't, man, you're in trouble. Try to keep the flesh under just by your willpower. Try that sometime. I always end up having to repent when I do that for what I did. Hey, you might as well laugh, folks. You know, he's crying about it. He ain't going to change a thing. Hallelujah. With the power of God. It's just like Peter. Peter's heart was right about the thing. You know, hey, I'll go to prison with you, and if I got to die, I'll do it. A few hours later, he says, I don't know who that dude is. Get him out of here. Why didn't he? Jesus had him in the garden, and he told him to pray, lest you fall into temptation. He didn't pray. He went to sleep. He decided sleep was more important than praying. And he wasn't able to fulfill what was in his heart to do because the temptation of the devil came and he ran away from it. It don't matter how much in your heart you want to do something. Your willpower ain't going to bring it to pass. You need the power of God. You need to get faith. Jesus in the garden, he prayed. The Bible says angels came and strengthened him. Do you think angels wouldn't have came to Peter? No, but Peter decided not to pray. He decided not to. God wanted Peter to be able to fulfill what he said. But Peter thought, I got a great confession. I'm sounding tough and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And he couldn't do it. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in that place. I have. I've been in that place where Ed's had wonderful intentions. And I've had some good confessions that didn't get fulfilled. Because my flesh got in the way. Because I didn't take time to pray. I didn't pray till I got strength from heaven. I prayed just, God, help me out of my mess. After I was in it. Have you ever done that? See, we need to pray till we stay out of messes. We need to learn prevent, like we have preventive maintenance. You work at a place, they have preventive maintenance to fix things. We need to have preventive maintenance when it comes to prayer, to praying to stay out of messes. And there's loads of things we will never get into. Remember I told you, Kenneth Hagin made the statement one time. He said if spirit-filled Christians would just pray 1 hour in other tongues a day, he said there's a lot of things they wouldn't face. How many of you pray 1 hour a day in other tongues? See, is number one. See, God had the prophet say something to help us. But now if a doctor would have handed you a prescription and said, dude, oh yeah, the doctor gave it to me. Yes, sir. Oh, God, doctor said. Yes, and that'll fix me. See, we need to deal with these things, folks. This is our preventive maintenance. Getting over there, keeping yourself over there in the spirit. You don't run into spiritual things unless you're in the spirit. Praying in tongues is an act of the Spirit. When you pray in tongues, he says you're not speaking unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries. You know what we want to do what satisfies the mind and the flesh and makes it feel good, you know. Oh, I would rather just go all day and feed the poor. Let's do that one. Let's don't pray. Just feed the poor because that one makes me feel good. And I feel like I'm doing something. Because see, I see something with my hand. My mind and my flesh can get around that. But go pray? Nah. My mind and my flesh. I'll tell you, you get over praying and after a while you just want to get over and pray. You get over and you get hooked into things of the Spirit. You just want to go to that place. You just keep wanting to go over there and hook into that. You want to get over there because there's things you hear. See, I gave the Lord permission and I told him. And this is my own fault that I don't sleep through the nights, because I told him, anytime you need to wake me up and you need to talk to me or you want to use me, you have the right to wake me and do it. And he's been doing it ever since. But let me tell you, I had a lot more nights where I slept through where I shouldn't have. So, he's just making up time on it. That's what he's getting. And I have no complaints about it. I have no complaints about it. Because why? I want to be able to hear God. It is more important in this day and age to hear from God than any time that you've ever lived. You need to understand that. In this day you live, you need to desperately hear from God more than you ever did at any time in your life. We're running on an end of an age. And if you ain't noticed, the devil's rising up big. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, a lot of his people weren't going to be ready to meet him. He's coming. Why? He said, because the demonstration of the Spirit will come, they'll turn away from it. We don't like to think. I'm already seeing Spirit-filled people turning away from it. They're turning away from the move of the Spirit. Why? Because they got a lot of stuff in the flesh that they like and they enjoy, and they have all the preaching. It tells them, you're all right, you're saved, just sit back and relax. God will bless you and it's all going to work out great. And it's not. They have no care or love for people out there that are dying and on their way to hell. They don't care about what this power of God comes. They don't really care about what happens to this nation, as long as I'm just doing really good myself. I have an eternity to have a good time. I got an eternity. While I'm here, I want to learn how to operate in the Spirit. I don't want to get to heaven and be dumb as a stick. Many Christians get to heaven and have no idea how the spirit realm works. They're just like little babies and children when they arrive there. They're having to learn how things operate there. They don't know. It's no different on this earth. You take somebody and hide them in a closet, and when they first get born and you pull them out into this life, do you think they're just going to learn how to know what to do in this life? You want to know what? No. Well, people, we have this wonderful opportunity right here, right now, to step over in the areas of the Spirit. We can step into these places right now. You and I can move into them. And I'll tell you what, we need to. There's a great urgency in the Spirit, a great urgency, especially in the area to pray. There's a great urgency in this area concerning our nation and bringing to pass these words of wisdom that came about the future and taking that thing of future. Because now these things that were spoke of future are upon us. They were supposed to have been prepared for a long time ago, and they were not. These prophecies, and many of them that I have, are people spoke in times past and said things many years out. And they were said, and people didn't pray them in or pray about them at all. Isn't that cool? This is going to happen in the end times. Well, here we are in the end times, and look at the condition of the church in America. Full of sin and wickedness, homosexuality and every perversion's okay. Every wicked thing's all right. Jesus loves you. Well, Jesus loves everybody that's in hell. He loved every one of them. But they're in hell. Love don't get you to heaven. You got to respond to what love is and what it wants. You know? I love Jesus. Oh, yes, I really love Jesus. Well, by your fruits, he'll know whether you love him. Jesus made mention about him saying, he said, why do you call me Lord and you don't do the stuff I say? Why do you do that? I said, Lord, guilty. Guilty, Lord. I'm guilty. I called you Lord. Didn't do what you said. But see, that's okay in the church world today. See, you don't even have to repent of it. See, I can just keep ignoring God and I'm just going to get to heaven anyhow. Don't matter what I do. Once you're saved, you know you're just always saved. I'll tell you what, how wonderful this thing is. It is so good. Because I want to know, am I wasting my time? If once you're saved, you're already saved. If that is the truth, why aren't we preaching? Church, just go out and live like hell. Do what you want. Why does it matter? Once I'm saved, I'm always saved. I can murder, cheat, steal, lie, commit adultery, fornicate. I can just do anything I want. Then I'm just always saved. Why don't we preach? That's all right. What on earth am I praying for a move of God for? We don't need one. Let the devil run loose. Because I want to follow him. My words. We'll just party till finally Jesus comes and take us rotten, rank people out of here. The Bible says he's coming back for a glorious church. Hallelujah. Well, I decided I need to make some change to get over to qualify for that one. Ed needs some changes. Hallelujah. I thought, you know, Ed, you've been your own worst enemy in some things. Caused your own problems. Hallelujah. Been there. Say, well, this isn't a fun sermon. It's the truth will make you free. See, if you sit down, now you have a choice in what you hear. You can either pet yourself and pat yourself and poor old me, or you can say, you know what? I'm tired of letting the devil run over me and this life run over me. I'm going to stand up. We're in a war, and this kid got a gun, and we're shooting. We're doing something. We have a choice. We can either play or do which one. It's what you do with what you hear. It's like I asked the Lord years ago, and I spoke to him about it. I said, you know, they always say, I have a positive message. And I always wonder about it, because what it turned out is I listen to people preach all the time, and nobody's ever getting corrected on anything. And I said, is that what we're supposed to do, never correct nothing? You know, I look at Paul writes the church at Corinth, and he tells them, you're carnal. I can't even talk to you. People are spiritual. I say, my God, they don't preach that in the church today. Yet ministers stand in front of the church, and their whole congregation would know God if he showed up with a red hat on and a neon sign on his head. It said God. They still wouldn't know it. They wouldn't know as God. But they stand and preach. Oh, you know, we're all okay. We all love one another. And isn't this great? Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's just wonderful. But that crazy stuff, you know, that kind of stuff's going on. But if we don't make some changes here in this thing, you know, we can turn around. And anyhow, the Lord said to me one day, I'd ask him about it, and some months passed, and he never said anything. And this is one of those times I was out running. And I was out running, and the Lord spoke to me, and really clear, just as clear to me. He said, you know what a positive message is? And this is what I learned. When the Lord asked me a question for an answer, I've learned over time. Every time I answered him on that, I was wrong. So I just said to him, and this is exactly what I said though. I'm running down the road and I said, Lord, if I knew what it was, you wouldn't be talking to me about this right now. So I said, I must not know. And I didn't from his answer. This is what he said. A positive message is determined more by the hearer than the speaker. He said, it's what people do with what you say. He said a word of correction is a positive statement made if the person needs to make a correction. It's positive. And a person who receives it as a positive thing, to them it's positive. And he'd been positively correcting me. Positively. But you know, as I learned, I needed it. I needed correction. Sometimes I didn't like it, but I tell you, I learned. And I've learned this over the year. If the Lord corrects me in something, tells me something where I'm out of line, I don't even discuss it with him anymore. He's always right. You know, I used to try to stick up for myself. And boy, that was futile. Dear Lord, like God don't know me. Oh, people do it all the time. You try to correct people, they'll turn around and try to stand up for themselves. You do it, you try to correct. You ever do your kids? You go to try to correct them? They got 47 excuses. Well, you're out of line. Well, they had every right to do what they did. Well, they got that from their parents. Don't feel bad about it. They do the same thing. You just down in here and stand and say, you know, I was wrong. You know, it's learning to do that. You know, I'm wrong. You know, God's smarter than Ed. Is God smarter than you? Hallelujah. You need to come. But you need to get to a place. There's one thing. There's things that God never spoke to me about till I pushed over in prayer and some things where he ever spoke. See, it's one of the things. If you're not going to move any further than what you are, there's no point in God talking to you about change because you ain't going to go nowhere with it anyhow. So there's no point in going through the things and wanting change. But when I got over and started really pushing in the area of prayer, God started, because I wanted to move into certain things, God started dealing with me a change. God really started pushing on me about my need to change. Why? It isn't because he doesn't like it. It's because if you don't, the more that we're able to bring our flesh and our unrenewed mind under control, the more he can work through us. The more he can demonstrate his glory. Look, your flesh, most people don't realize, but especially in the areas of the flesh, most people, the reason gifts of the Spirit don't operate is because the flesh dominates. The flesh rules. And the flesh will quench. The flesh don't like to step out into areas it's not familiar with or that doesn't have. You know, it is one thing. You get an unction inside of you that God gives you a word to somebody. And the first thing that your flesh will do to you is this. Well, what if you say that and that ain't right? What if you do? It's the first thing that's going to happen to you. And if you live in that place, and you'll never operate in gifts of the Spirit. You'll never go to that place. As long as your flesh. In prayer, What did Jesus tell Peter would happen in prayer? So you get out there in prayer. You got weak flesh. You deal with it over in prayer so you can subdue the flesh. You get over in the spirit, you can subdue the flesh. Peter had in his heart to do what's right, but his flesh ruled him and he couldn't do what was right. Yet he wanted to, and that's good. It's good to have the want to, but I'm going to tell you what, it's better yet if you could actually do it. Want to ain't enough. Wanting to do right. You know what? Our prisons were filled with people that wanted to do right, but they're locked up. There's loads of Christians that they want to believe in divine healing and stuff, but they're sick and can't get well. Because their flesh dominates them. They won't deal with it till they can tell their flesh to shut up. Tell your flesh, you ain't ruling me no more. You're not going to dominate me anymore. My body ain't going to be telling me what to do for the rest of my life. My body ain't running and ruling this thing. And pray long enough till something happens on the inside of you. Hallelujah. My God. You know, you ain't going to get that listening to preachers online or on TV and that kind of stuff. You're going to have to seek God. Like Norval Hayes said, you're going to have to seek God for yourself. You can't get it watching it. You can't get it listening to their stories. I thank God for everything Brother Hagin taught me, but the whole thing was is those things were taught so I could go over and have my own relationship and my own communion with God and my own hookup with God. That's what I had to do. And I found out how he got his. He spent a lot of time praying. He spent a lot of time chasing after God. He did a lot of time in the Word and in prayer. He spent a lot of time there to get over in that place where God could dominate him. You know, Brother Hagin talked about the things he said, you know, and I learned this from him. He said, you know, we talk about the devil doing, the devil possessing people. He said, don't we want possessed by God? See, God won't dominate you. People say, well, no, God made me do something. God never made you do anything. God never operates like the devil. The devil will force and push his way things on people. If God possesses you, it's because you desire to be possessed. And I've desired to be possessed. I've been possessed by Ed and a lot of things. But I desire to be possessed by God. Hallelujah. I want to be possessed by Him. And so that's a decision that I have to make. God will not force it. Just like with here. God didn't. God would wake me sometimes up at night. I'd have occasions and that stuff. But when I got over into things where I started talking to God about it, when I told Him what I'd let Him do, see, I gave Him permission. You need to understand this. In prayer, we give Him permission to do things. Martin Luther said, what's his name? Started the Methodist Church. Anyhow, he made this statement. He said, "It seems as God can do nothing in the earth unless somebody asks Him." Kenneth Hagin said, when he heard that statement, he said, "I wanted to go to the Word and find out why." And he began to look and did a study in the Word and found out. See, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose, we need to understand this. God can't move any further than we're living. In your life, God will never move any further than you will allow Him to. He doesn't. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. I learned this over the years. Kenneth Hagin told us, he said, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He will not force His way on you. He won't do that. He's a gentleman. And He is. But no further than I would let Him use me than I allowed it. Where I could do with dealing with my flesh to allow Him to do something. Would He do things? I had to learn to do that. And we need to get that. That's been lost in the church world. In the church world is like, God's in control. Not of you. If He was, we'd be living a whole lot better, wouldn't we? If God was in control of anything, would I be having to teach or preach this? I mean, think about it. Would we be talking this stuff? No. It's cause why? God wants to get into control. I don't want some words on my bumper that says God's my co-pilot. I want to put on, He's driving. He's a co-pilot. I can tell Him to shut up anytime I want to and take the wheel. That's what a co-pilot is. The actual pilot's in charge, not the co-pilot. If the pilot dies or says the co-pilot can get in and fly it, he can, but other than that, he can't. That's actually the way it works. God ain't my co-pilot. I have flown too many missions on my own. Haven't you? Aren't you tired of where you've went to and have come back from? I am. I said, dear, I need a new airline. I need to get on one that goes there on time. I need one that flies. I want a real GPS. I ain't got one. Your flesh is a lousy GPS, let me tell you. It's terrible. You know it, I know it. I'll tell you, you got to beat this ugly thing with a stick. You got to keep it down. Hallelujah. But you know what? The best thing it'll ever do is keep it down is pray. I'm serious. I'm just telling you. You want to bring your flesh under control? You start spending time in prayer. You'll have less problems with your flesh. You will. I'm serious. You will. People like dealing with habits that people want to break away from and do stuff. I want to say one of the best ways to bring your flesh under control. Now, you want to go to the Word. You want to study the Word and know what the Word says. But you go to prayer. And you start praying. Especially if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. Pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues. Pray till heaven comes and meets you. Pray till you get hooked up into something. And I'll tell you, it'll start to change. I'll tell you, this year I've been changing. Might make people crazy, but I'm changing. Hallelujah. I'm stepping into things. Stepping into things. Seeing things differently. Understanding things differently. Hallelujah. Longings and cravings of desires that I had in me that were things that you just looked out there and you'd want to just touch and get. It's like now they're so strong in me. Hallelujah. Those things are in me. And this is what we're going to have. And this is what we're heading for. And this is where I'm going. But you know what? Nobody goes along without, you're going to have to decide you're going to go along. We ain't loading people in a wagon and Ed's going to pull you. It ain't going to be happening. You're going to have to decide to go. Number one, I decided a long time ago, there's always people that you're going to have to pull along and help. They're always going to, Paul wrote and said, you got to bear with the weak. And what he's talking about, people weak spiritually. You always got to bear with them. And you do, you got to bear with them. You bear with the people. There's people that decided, and along, we're going to walk in love. We're not going to kill them. We're still trying to get them as much health as they can. We're going to do what we can for them. But I'll tell you what, everybody can't be that. You can't have a playpen Christianity. You can't have it. You can't have playpen churches. They can't do it. They're not going to go nowhere. Somebody has to get up and say, I'm telling you what, I'm going to be an adult. I wish I'd get just most of the ministers being adults. Spiritually, most of the ministers. How shameful it is. Now, I want you to think about this. We were back, years ago, we'd started the church and we're going along, here in the church. And back in 1990 then, we're going along there. I've been praying as a minister's fellowship I was involved with. The minister that was in the head of the fellowship who had the thing was a Rhema graduate. And when they first started the fellowship, I was a member of, we would have moves of the Spirit and stuff. It was really good. Your meetings would go. But I saw over time they started letting things in and started bringing stuff in about, talking all this stuff about. They talk about vision. Vision's good if God gives you one. But they'd always talk about your vision, and you have your vision, and you write your vision down, and you do this and that stuff. Well, number one, it ain't about your vision. Get over it right now. I don't care what your vision. You pray till God gives you a vision of what you're supposed to be going after. See, I know what I'm called to in this valley. I didn't choose it. God chose it for me. And there's a vision concerning this valley here. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things that have to do with God had me. The Lord spoke to me about this over the years of prophesying and speaking over this valley and the things. He said, you're the one. He said, you set a lot of things in motion by listening to me and going and prophesying. You set a lot of things in motion. And he said, you're going to walk in those things in this day. You're going to be walking in these things that you saw years ago that you spoke over this place. He said, I've called you here to this. There's a thing that I used to tell people, I used to say this, my ministry's for the last days, and that's where this. These last days, stepping in to what God's called, and concerning this valley. And and it's one thing, and I've talked to you guys about it, those things. Do you go to God in prayer about this valley, about the things that I said? See if what God does. If you don't, you're just dragging your feet. God has huge plans. But you know what? If they ain't prayed out and people don't pull on them, it ain't happening just because something was said by a guy standing on a hill in Sunset Hill, prophesying over this valley. See, it's important. We need to know is people to step in. One of the things that we really need in these last days is we need ministers to start stepping into their ministry gift. Loads of ministers, loads of pastors ain't pastors. They ain't standing in their ministry. There's many that are pastors, but they don't operate in the pastoral office. They're nothing but one of the pew huggers. They're not a daddy in the church. They've never risen up to be a daddy. They need to get in their place and their position to be the head of the church. And they don't do it. When we first started this church, the Lord told me, I didn't want to be a pastor. Last thing I wanted to be, and I was praying and I had a vision. God showed me in a vision concerning churches in Lebanon. And he said, what happens and the failure has been here is because he said the spirit that operates in this community, he said the people are always trying to take control of everything. And he said when they come into the church, he said the pastors don't follow the vision I gave them. He follows the people. He said don't let that spirit in your church. Well, there's a lot of people get unhappy when they come and you don't let them bring their vision in and they're running the show. They're unhappy. They have their vision and their thing that they want to do. They come. I want control. I want to run. You know, I have the vision. And I always tell them, go have your vision in your own church. Go do whatever you want. Maybe somebody else lets you, but it's not here. This is not the place. See, we need to understand. If we don't, see, God can't fulfill. God showed me ministers, and I even know them. He showed me in the vision. He sent them here with a certain vision, and he said they'll leave. They won't stay. I called them here to be here, but they won't stay because he said they'll never be. They won't can't complete their vision. They're here to do. They won't stand up to the people, so they'll get frustrated and leave. And he did. Ministers would come and go, come and go. We had Rhema people come in here try to start churches. God never called them to, but they tried to come in and start churches. I'm still here. They'd come in for a while and God sent me here. And after they got in out here and found out the demons in the area, they packed their bags and left. Well, it's number one. You better get the anointing on you to stay. You better get it. You know the call of God in your life and what God told you to do. And you park and stay no matter what happens. This is why most Christians have a hard time. Christians, you know, people today, they talk about people, whether it's jobs or whatever it is. See, people today move from thing to thing all the time. Church world does it all the time. Moving from church to church. People jumping all over the place. Going here, going there. They never stop and prove themselves anywhere. They won't stay any place that's tough. You know, they get tired of a job right away. As soon as they get tired of a job. When you get tired of a job, that's when you need to park and stay. So, you know, I'm going to keep working no matter how. I'm going to make my flesh stay and do something whether it likes it or not. They don't ever do that. No, I'm going to look for greener grass. I'm going to go do something else. And you know what? This one thing you'll find out. Those people who are Christians will never mature spiritually. God will keep you in the place that you don't like. Why? Because that place you're going to develop character. And if you won't allow that to happen, you got a problem. I'm just telling you. I learned that. You had to go to what you didn't like. Why? Because I learned there. Ed, your flesh is going to have to like the will of God. See, I had to learn here. I came here, and you know what I wanted to do? Lord, I want to be on the mission field. I don't want to be in Lebanon. Dear Lord, I spoke over this place, but I see what it is. Let me go, Lord. I want to go someplace else. And God said, here. Well, when I decided, with the help of the Lord, when he told me, I don't want to hear you talk about this again. And I figured, well, it was a good time to shut your mouth and decide you're going to do the will of God. Hallelujah. See, I prayed. You know when the Lord spoke to me like that? I'd been spending hours in prayer trying to get out a pastor in a church. Most of you would never do that. What you'll do is just ignore God and not do it. At least I had the sense to pray because I wanted to get him to say, yeah, you're right. Don't do it. Yeah. Most of you will just turn around and just ignore him completely and just not even pay attention to him. Because you don't like it. Oh yeah, at least I had the sense. And I prayed and prayed till he talked to me and told me to shut up. And when he did, see, I learned a great thing. Because that's when I decided, if I'm going to stay here, this is my place of milk and honey. Where God places me, and I know he did, he is required to take care of me here. Many Christians have left their land of milk and honey. And they're out trying to find one. They're looking in the natural. Some people are out here in their jobs trying to find a place of milk and honey. And don't realize right where they're at was their place of milk and honey. But they had no faith to be there. They never ask God if they're supposed to be there to begin with or stay in that place. Folks, this is good preaching. Am I supposed to be here in this? Then I'm going to stay and I'm going to park in this place till God, you say move. I ain't moving till the Holy Ghost tells me to move. I am staying here. See, I got over when the Lord told me, he said, when I was working at Reese's, I got saved and I knew God called me to the ministry. But the Lord spoke to me one night while I was praying and said, I want you to just stay at Reese's. And he said, you're going to be there for a while. You just stay there. That ain't the place I wanted to be, but I made a decision. I'm going to get myself, whatever, how long he wants me to be here, I will stay here. If he tells me to stay there for the rest of my life, I will stay there. Most people will make their own decisions and ask God to bless them. and wonder why things don't work. People wonder why the demons get a hold of them in different things. Because they're out of the will of God, walking outside the will of God, and the devil has access to them. Because why? Oh, we let go. We want to hear from heaven, but I'm making the decisions in my life. I'm going to decide when I come and when I go, when I go in and when I go out. Folks, I've done that stuff. And I had to learn to sit. And I just decided this is my place of milk and honey from everywhere there's after. God, this is a place that you have to take care of me. I don't care how it goes here, what happens. This is the place you take care of me because I'm here. Lord, I'll stay here as long as you want. I'm going to stay here. It doesn't matter whether Ed likes it or not. That has no play in it whatsoever. It don't amount to nothing. My flesh can get upset as it wants. It just has to shut up because this is my place of milk and honey. I am not walking outside the will of God because I don't like it. It has nothing to do with what I like. It's the will of God. And see, you need to come to that place because if you can't come to that place, your flesh will dominate you and you won't move over in areas of the spirit. You won't yield to it. You won't. I'm just telling you. I know. I had to learn. My flesh did not willingly want to follow God. It was screaming and kicking and fighting and I had to drag it along to get it to obey. And you know what? Every once in a while, Ed's still got to get the stick out and go over and slap it good. Tell it to shut up. Because it wants to not like it, and you just gotta do it. Paul said, you know, it's being like a boxer. He said, you know, giving your blows to your flesh. No, most people are patting it and pelling, oh, you poor thing. Oh, I know. You just don't feel right. So I don't feel right. So if I don't feel right, I don't have to do what's right because I don't feel right. I have a funny feeling. Nobody's laughing. You're disgusting. There's nothing funny about it. The flesh leads to no good. Maybe mine's different. Maybe you guys are already glorified and I'm just messed up here. Maybe that's it. What do you think? Ed's still messed up. You guys got caught up to heaven. This is the millennium. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 You know, there's some things that the Lord told me to do and I want to do today concerning ministries. We went on here for a while, but these things need to be said. And I'll tell you, they'll help you. I just really encourage you to push in the areas of prayer. Push into the areas of prayer. Take your time. You know, and I will tell you this, when you first start doing this stuff, it just seems just as dry and dead. You know, I'm at the point now where even during the day I'm praying in tongues all the time. I pray in tongues. You know what? And lots of times I'll be able to pray in tongues, didn't even realize I even went there. I'm praying, I'm talking in tongues. You get over where your spirit starts to dominate. And I think, boy, this is finally getting good. Finally, I'm getting, my flesh is getting down a little bit there. My mouth is used instead of my complaint about what's going on. My spirit's getting to talk through me. So you know, I say, hey, this is looking good now. This is pretty good. We're getting someplace on this thing. The inner man. Let me just say, I mean, I've had some experience been doing this. Wednesday night, we had Bible study and stuff. I came home and I spent some time in the Word and things and stuff. And I was praying and I decided I was going to go to bed. It was late, but I went to bed. So I went there just laying in bed. Wanda was there. She was already sleeping, but I was laying in bed. And I was just saying to myself, just started praising God. And there's something, I've never had this happen before. In my spirit, praise and worship started coming up out of me, out of my spirit. It was almost like a roar. To me it was so loud, it almost seemed in my ears. I could hear it. And it was songs of praise and worship, nothing like, no songs that I've heard anybody sing. But it sounded like a chorus singing. And for about an hour, I laid there in bed, and this thing is going off, and I'm thinking, dear Lord, you talk about a worship service. That was a worship service. I'll tell you what, this thing, and it's like, I'm laying in a bed, and it's like, my God, I'm thinking, you know, and it's outside, when you get over in these areas, it gets outside the natural mind and outside of your thinking of your flesh. And I'm laying there thinking, what on earth, dear Lord, this thing is going on. Something I'm hooked into here. And it's just going to town. And these songs are going. And I'm thinking, my God, is that ever good to hear? Wow. Listening to it. But you know, as you get, this is one of the things. We got to get ourselves more spiritually activated. We're too naturally activated. Too naturally activated. We got to get over where our spirit can spontaneously do things. And we do that by helping to bring the flesh under and our mind, outside of our mind. We will reason things. We start thinking, you know, I do it many times. I'm sitting there praying in tongues and my mind's over thinking about something. I think, what's that flaky thing doing? I'm over here praying in tongues and it's thinking something odd over here that's stupid. But you know what? I don't stop praying in tongues because my mind's good. I think I'll just pray in tongues until it finally does something. It either commits suicide or something, or it does something. Then it gets tired of this or shuts up or does something. We're just going to keep praying in tongues, you know, until this stupid brain just gets an idea that I ain't going where it's going. And you got to do that. You got to get over there and do that sometimes. And that's not always an easy thing to do. You get to sometimes fight through things. I'll tell you, there's stuff that happens to you, and this is where a lot of people miss it. Something happens, and people get praying about the problem they're dealing with. And they just stay focused on their mind. They never get over in the spirit because they're always focused on that problem they have, whether it's sickness, whether it's somebody did something or something's happening or something's going on, and they get focused on it. They get focused in prayer, and they're over there praying, and they think they're doing spiritual things, but it's all guided by their flesh, and they're over there, you know, we're over here whining instead of coming to the place where we step over and say, you know what, this stuff is going to flesh. It doesn't matter. I'm going to get over here with God. We have to learn, especially in this area. You know, the Psalms talks about entering his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We need to learn to do that. You don't say we enter his courts with our whining and complaining about what our problem is. Or we come into his courts talking about our need for healing. We don't come into his courts. We come into his courts. In other words, you approach God with thanksgiving and praise. You come into him praising God. People say, well, I've had problems in my life and I just don't feel like praising him. Well, then you're going to live with your problems. So go, you know, that's your problem. You got to learn to praise God when your flesh says, no, don't, and your mind's saying nothing. You got to learn. You will come to, I'm sorry, if you get over into doing this kind of stuff, you will come in and think, it'll be so natural. You know, I wake up in the morning, there's a song in me. There's a song. There's always a song in me. There's things going on in the inside, but you want to hook up enough to where inside of you, your approach to God is his greatness, is his wonder. See, because no more than you magnify him, no more than you believe he's really going to respond to anything you want. But we make him little and we carry our big problem in and we make it bigger in his presence. We make our problem more immense by carrying it in and exploiting it. And saying, God, you know, my problem's pretty weeny to you. Woo-hoo! Glory to God! I'm so glad you're so bigger than my problems are. Hallelujah! Now we go, oh God, you just don't, nobody understands what I'm going through. Well, what are you talking to me for? Nobody understands. Why are you bothering me? You may pray long enough to hear that. God may respond to you on the way you are. He has to me already. That's why I can tell you from experience. He acted like I did in his presence and I decided Ed needs to change. Ed needs to change. I said, I don't want nobody coming to me like that. I don't want God to say, oh man, what an idiot he is. I just... Hallelujah! Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I just encourage you in this thing, spending time in prayer, especially concerning these things, this move of the Spirit. Take the time to seek God. You know, we're not doing this. These gifts of the Spirit, these manifestations. There's some things that, you know, I want to do. You know, when the Lord spoke to me, really through the word of wisdom, he told me what to preach. He told me what to preach. It was really a word of wisdom because it was what I was going to do in the future. And he also showed me some other things. It's just like on Thursday when he woke me up that morning and told me how I was supposed to minister this concerning the word of wisdom, dealing with prophecy and things. He said to me, so that was a word of wisdom about dealing with the future, looking in the future, what to do ahead. See, the job of the Holy Spirit, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to show you things to come. That's his job. See, if you're not picking up on things to come, then you're not connecting to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that criticizing. You got to learn how to connect to the Holy Spirit so you know things ahead on what to do. Hey, Wanda, would you get down and tell Eileen to come up? Thank you. The Lord had given me, the Lord gave me a word of wisdom. And I want to follow these things, of things to do. And so we want to follow them. And we need to understand this. This is why, you know, you get over into these things. If you learn to operate over in these places, this isn't just for pastors. Everybody should operate in these gifts. Everybody should operate in them. Everyone. Why? Because they're a great benefit to you. Thank God. I mean, I'd hate to have struggling for me trying to figure out myself what I ought to preach. Thank God. The Holy Ghost will tell me. Thank God. The Holy Spirit. And we do it. And for you too in life. He's going to show you what to do. There's things about it. I learned how to operate in the word of knowledge. Really helped me a lot when I worked at Reese Candy Company. And I've told you people about working in a department. We'd have problems and I'd get a word of knowledge of where the problem was, what it was. And we had the mechanics, electricians couldn't figure things out, and all of a sudden I'd know what it was. And I'd say, Lord, what's going on? Would you show us? We're just spending too much time down here. What's going on? Show me what to do. And all of a sudden he'd come to me, and I'd say to him, why don't you go check such and such? And they'd come along and say, oh, I don't, that's fine. Now there's nothing wrong with you. I just say, just humor me. Go ahead over and check that out. And time after time they'd find, they'd say, how did you know that? I'd say, the Lord told me. It was inside. And they'd go, yeah, okay. Well, I'd tell him that, you know, hallelujah. But see, learning how to operate in those things, learning how to operate and see why it's beneficial for you. But now I want you to understand this. Did that operate just for my benefit? No. That operated for that company's benefit. You see, these gifts are not just some little thing that we go around a bless me club in the church. These gifts, if we learn to operate, they bless a lot of people. This is ministry. This is what ministry is. This is why you want to learn to operate, because the church is going to operate in the supernatural. Now, you need to understand. Do you know why today, like Harry Potter and like all these superhero stuff is so big? You know why it's so big? It's because the church doesn't offer the supernatural. That's why it is craving within people to desire supernatural. It's in the hearts of people. It is the craving. If they can't have it, at least they want to be entertained with it. They want to get into their mind to think there's something better than what we got. They want something more. And we're not offering. The church is not offering it. The church is offering the norm. That's why I went over to sorcery, because I found there was no churches offering supernatural. And the only place I heard there was with the devil. He was doing the healing. He was doing the stuff. That's the knucklehead church. Everything was, the devil's doing it. You know, get preachers. That's a devil. Anything supernatural, they run from. God wanted us to walk over into that place. The thing that grabbed me when I found out about the supernatural, when I was handed a book by Kenneth Hagin, it was How to Be Led by the Spirit. And I was handed that book, and I read that book as a sinner. And the guy I got it from, I gave it back to him, and I handed it to him. I said this to him. I said, that's the first Christian I ever heard actually knows how the spirit realm works. So I learned things about the spirit realm, because I found out the people over here, demon possessed, knew more about how the spirit realm worked than Christians did. A lot of it ain't changed. Hallelujah. It's a realm of faith. Faith is the basis of this realm. And if you can't make faith work, you see, this is what I want to let you know. This move of God is coming. You watch the amount of young people that will start coming into the kingdom. They're going to run over all these old people been hugging down the pews and not doing a darn thing. They're going to run them down. They're going to come because the supernatural. What turned the heart of Israel back when the fire fell? The supernatural said, now we know there's a God. Up until that time, nobody was sure who was God. This is why we need a move of God. There needs to be proof other than we saying there's a God and there's a Jesus. That's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost was for. So you could be a witness. Without being full of the Holy Ghost, you ain't a witness. And saying, well, I speak in tongues, that don't mean you're full of the Holy Ghost. You got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. It's a place you got to walk in and stay. Hallelujah. The supernatural. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eileen, the reason I called you up. Now, I'm just going to say something to you, and I want to know if I could miss it. And you just say so. If I did, you don't hurt my feelings. It'd just be another chalk on the mark. I missed it already. But, and this is just very simple. And this is what the Lord said to me to say to you. Now, you just answer this yes or no. Did the Lord speak to you back, now I'm talking about numbers of years ago, and said to you, he either said he called you a daughter or he called you a child and said, and about him calling you to run?
Yes.
Okay. So, he did. Well, see, I got it right. Glory to God. I heard. All he said to this is, talk to him about that. You talk to him about that. That's all it is. He just said, that's between you and him. I ain't really nobody else. You're not to say nothing else about it. I don't know what it is, but he said to me, just to tell you, talk to him about that. Because he wants to talk to you about that. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, you know what he's like? Now, see, what he wants to do, this is the whole thing. Understand this. What God's doing here, he wants to bless people. If he's saying things, and don't go in your mind. You don't know what's going on with her, so forget about it. You know, ain't none of your business. You don't have to tell none of you. It's whatever God said. Why? Because he wants to bless her. He wants to help her. This is what it is. God's moving to help her. This is not God's trying to get somebody. I don't know he's trying to get her. Maybe he's going to bless the socks right off of her. Wouldn't surprise me. But anyhow, praise God. What it is, he wants her to talk to him about is that, you know what? You know, the Bible says it's the secret things belong to the Lord. See, some things ain't none of our business. Those are between her and her daddy. Hallelujah. And the way he talked, she is still his daughter. Hallelujah. And so he just said, talk to him about that. So you take time and talk to him about that. That's all they wanted to say. But I saw that in the spirit. I saw that happen on Tuesday. And so I just want to fulfill that. Okay. Amen. I saw myself doing that. So I wanted to fulfill it. And Betsy, you come. I saw this and I want you to come. Come. Well, you sneak on down here. Come on. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm just going to do to you. I had said before in praying for you one time, but the Lord's just reiterating about this. Because, you know, there's sometimes that we're in situations because either maybe sometimes how we're raised or things we went through in life. And, you've dealt with some areas of inferiority about things. And really, it's been a pressure on you about this thing. And, the Lord he wants me to say to you, he wants me to talk about this. There's nothing inferior about you. Get that out of your mind. You're his kid. He is happy because your desire is to walk in what you know. See, what pleases him, and he wants me to say this, what pleases him is you walking in what you know. Not what you think somebody else wants you to walk in or somebody's, you're walking, you can only walk in what you know. And he's happy. And and another thing he said, don't measure yourself against other people. Not a good thing to do. I mean, I don't even measure myself against Jesus or I'd quit. What we do is we measure ourselves on the basis of what we know. God does. God doesn't judge by outward appearance. He judges by the heart. So what people think, it don't matter. Who cares? What cares is what your daddy feels about you. And he loves you. He thinks you're pretty great. He likes you. And that's what counts. And don't allow people used to, because over time, the devil has used this against you and has tried to keep you depressed and everything else and on that thought. And I'll tell you what, we're bringing an end to that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be free in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Things are changing. Hallelujah. And you're changing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's working in you. You just stay with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The good work he started, he's bringing it to completion. Don't let that thing tries to come to you and back to you about that. You tell them to shut up. It ain't true about you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're a child of God. A child of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Those two things I saw specifically that I was supposed to do. See, there's a word of knowledge came. A word of wisdom came. Showed me in the future what I was supposed to do and what I was supposed to say. You see how important these things are? See, the more you get over in the spirit, you know things ahead about to do. And you know, Just think about how much I believe the church, we all have really lacked in this area, because we've been mostly doing most of our lives living off the spur of the moment. And not knowing certain things that we need to do that we're already prepared for. There's certain things to be prepared for. There's certain things that we can step into to be ready. Let me just say this, just for everybody here. There's things that the devil has planned against ones here. Now everybody, he's out to get us all. But if you get over and pray, if you go over and spend time, the Lord will show you about it. Now I don't know specifically, this just rose up in me. I know specifically from the stand, I don't know who it is, but I know this, if you'll get over and pray, the Lord will show you what to do and that thing won't even happen. God will show you, He'll show you how to shut that thing down. You'll see it before it comes. You'll see it. I've had this happen in my life for certain things the Lord started just bringing up in me. And I realized there was things were coming ahead and I needed to get myself ready for it. And when I did, it didn't have the effect on my flesh that it would have if the incident would have happened otherwise. See, God's in the protection business. Hallelujah. My God, He's like the mafia. He's down there, and I tell you, but He's our protector. He's the one. Hallelujah. He's the one, and He's around us. And you know, you got the right guy on your side, and anybody messes around, they might end up dead. So you stick over and hang out with God. Stay with God in this thing. Hallelujah. And He wants to bless us. Now, I want to say this because we administered, I did some in the area before this, but the Lord talked about the anointing that's on me now, and He said to minister to people concerning this move of the Spirit of seeing and knowing. Now, I want to share some, because He said to me to minister to people who want to be ministered to in this area. You know, there's an anointing to this. There is an anointing for these things. There's things that can be passed on, but I want you to understand, you'll never enter into the fullness of any of it till you press in on things too. So we have a side to it, but there's things that can be. Now, it's one of the things is I know concerning this, there's things that Randall Greer over time laid hands on me is what really made the difference for me to be able to push into certain things. And because of the anointings he ministered to me, helped me get into certain places. It's just like I ministered to Betsy here. It's to help her. That's what that anointing is, to help her step into that place. Now, she has a part. She has to resist the devil when he tries. That's her job. But if she does, that anointing will help her. That anointing will get bigger, where after a while, she'll just hold that thing off. She'll just keep it away from her. And see, you have to learn to yield over to it. And this is where over into prayer concerning these things, talking to God about them. You know, I've spent time in the presence of God till He's talked to me about my anointing. See, there's one thing is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. I appreciate the prophet talking to me, but I'd like to hear it too, wouldn't you? Well, getting over there till He talks to you about it. Hallelujah. And He talked to me about laying hands on people. And so if you want to over in this area, lay hands on you concerning it. Some people might be already flowing. You could have some are already flowing in this. But if you want hands laid on you concerning this spirit of seeing and knowing, I'll lay hands on you today. The Holy Spirit told me to. Some things, it'd be good. I know Randall Greer laid hands on me about the same thing a couple times. And, you know, there's some things the Lord spoke to me, you know, years ago. He had me praying for people be strengthened with might by their spirit in their inner man. And He told me, you know, there's people that are going to have that ministered to them numbers of times. He said, till they get a hold. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes dealing with things. And so we minister it time and time again to people. But if you desire me to lay hands on you concerning the spirit of see and know, and you want to flow over in His areas. Now, maybe some, you already know what to do. That's fine. You know, this is just an opportunity the Lord said, that ones that want. If you want to, you can come up here. I would try to do it. Well, you know, if we can, if ones come through, if there's many who wants to do it, come from one side and across. It works much better than trying to have everybody just push in for people leaving if they do. So if anybody wants to, they can come up here on this side. If one's around up there, come down around on this side. Hallelujah. And I want you moving up here. If anyone's there, come up. How about come? Well, you want to come over there, brother? Come on. Come up here. Come on. I'll lay hands on you too. Yeah. Okay. As standing here with each other. Let's step forward a little bit further here and that stuff. Give you praying room behind you there. Okay. Let's hold up there. Just stand back over there. When these people move in, I'll call you guys in here. Okay. Hallelujah. And what we're just going to do is I was just going to lay hands on you and tell you to receive. You're just going to receive it. Just receive it. You know, this stuff works. You know, Let me just say this as an example. Ward had a dream one night. See, things come through. When we talk about these gifts and operations, show you things, word of wisdom, words of knowledge, these things. Ward had a dream, and it had to do with China. And a guy in China and them praying. and the next day, then he said about there, he was praying about this thing. But in the dream, he saw, in the dream, they ended up in a cave someplace. And anyhow, there was idols in there. And it was about, and anyhow, it turned around, was a guy you worked with or something like that. And anyhow, but, and it was about in China. But see, God, there's some things God wanted to do, showed him in a dream. See, these things, these manifestations, we need those. See, this was outside of Ward's actual knowledge. You haven't been to China lately, have you? No, this guy's never been to China. Okay. All right. You never been to that cave before. I don't know. It wasn't Indian Echo. It was, no. Okay. And he wasn't there. But anyhow, so he wasn't there. But see, God moved through one of those gifts. You step outside of your ability. Now, it didn't happen to him because he's a preacher or anything. Hey, God moved on him. A regular, you know, he's a sound guy. And God moved on him concerning that. See, we need to get an expectation of these things. That God wants to do things supernaturally. See, you know, we could sit and generally pray for China, and that's good. But isn't it another thing when God shows you what you need to do? Whoa, ho, ho, ho. I mean, things are going to change. Things are going to change. Hallelujah. China ain't going to be the same. See, and we want to hook over in this place where we're being directed by the Holy Spirit. Because when you get directed by the Holy Ghost, you'll get anointed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, my, my, my. You know, I have prayed, you know, just praying from my own understanding and things. But then again, I've prayed with an anointing. And it's another thing when you pray with an anointing. Hallelujah. When you know God's moving. So, Father, I just want to thank you. Lord God, as we're just going to obey you of what you showed me to do. And Lord God, I'm just doing what you said. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for each one that's coming here. Lord, their desire is to step into something more. They want to go further. This is their desire. Lord, they want the supernatural. And I want to thank you, Lord God, because I believe it's in the inclination of all human beings to desire the supernatural, to want it. And these are your people. What a better group, Lord God, to have the supernatural working in them and through them. And so I just want to say thank you today, Lord God. As I lay hands on them, Lord God, Lord, I thank you that this anointing is going to work in them. Lord God, there's going to be a compelling in their spirit, drawing them closer, Lord God, to reaching out to you in the name of Jesus, going to draw them in further. And Lord God, many things are going to change, hallelujah, in them and through them, Lord God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive the anointing. Receive the anointing. Receive the anointing. Receive the anointing. Hallelujah. Receive the anointing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Receive the anointing. Receive the anointing. Receive the anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive the anointing. Ha ha. Yeah, it's going into you there. Receive the anointing. Receive the anointing. Hallelujah. Receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive the anointing. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Before you go, I want to say this, folks, before you guys move from here. I want you need to say this. It doesn't matter what you felt or if you felt anything or not. I can truthfully say this. Anytime that Randy Greer's laid hands on me, most every time I've never felt a thing. But I'll tell you what, I've experienced the results of it. And it's because of this. I would say this every time. When he laid hands on me, the anointing went into me and it's working in me. I don't have to feel that. And I'd say all the time, the anointing went into me and it's working in me. It's working inside of me. Hallelujah. See, that's how you receive it, by faith. You don't receive it by faith because you feel, if you felt something, you don't need no faith. That ain't faith. It's saying the anointing went into me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm being changed by that anointing. So say that. The anointing went into me. I received it. And it's changing me. I'm operating in the supernatural. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now let's let the rest of them come down here. You folks can take your seats and we'll have the hit around out here and we'll let them come on down through here. Standing down here and we'll line you up. Just come up this way here. You can get up close to the front. I haven't bitten anybody in weeks. Oh, I'm trying. I have my shots and everything. All my shots. Hallelujah. We got all our shots and everything. Glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. Walking in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, hallelujah. We're not going to do that anymore, are we? Hallelujah. Well, I'll get you two then. We'll just pull you over after they move out here some. Hallelujah. You get special one. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, Father. Father, again, Lord, they're hungering and thirsty. They want something. They want more. And Lord God, you don't deny people more. Lord God, when people want something from you, and I want to thank you. Lord God, I want to get them to get everything that they can get from you to work in them, to take them to the supernatural place that they desire. Lord God, because the body of Christ needs it. Lord God, we need them empowered by the Spirit. We need them, Lord God, operating in the supernatural. Hallelujah. We need them. And I thank you. We're not going to be disappointed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. Receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. Receive the anointing. Receive the anointing. Hallelujah. Receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this. I receive the anointing. It went into me. It's working mightily. In the name of Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit are operating through me. In Jesus' name. Seeing and knowing operates through me. Just as normal. Anything else operates through me. Hallelujah. I'm walking in the supernatural. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, it's true. You didn't have to feel like it is or not. You just keep talking. Just, this is what I've received. Hallelujah. You didn't receive a feeling. You received a gift. Hallelujah. And it's working in you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. You're supernatural. Say that kind of stuff to yourself. You don't need to go around and tell everybody else. They'll think you're crazy. But you say it to yourself. Hallelujah. I'm walking into supernatural. I do supernatural things. Hallelujah. Supernatural gifts operate through. They're just normal. They operate through me. Hallelujah. I used to say that when hardly a thing happened. I would walk around and say that because that's normal. It should be. See? And you get yourself over. Well, where you get yourself the place you expect it to. You've got to get your expect. See, most people are waiting till something happen. Then it does say, oh, see, I got something now. There's no faith in that. Faith is when you believe you got something when it don't seem like you got a thing. But no, the Word says, I got it, so I got it. Hallelujah, I have it. Those gifts operate through me because I'm in the body. See, you guys are in the body, aren't you? Hallelujah. So would God say, no, I'm not trying to hold the gifts out back from them. I don't want them to take their place, and I don't want the body to work well. Hallelujah. He's not like that, is he? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You may take your seats.